Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 57 degrees here in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Leanne Akers.
And I'm Jonathan Burton.
It's just hopeful. I think we're all hopeful that there'll be a change.
The Rowan County Senior High School Marching Band will take part in inauguration festivities tomorrow in Frankfort, while educators approach the event with optimism.
Pharmacies across the Commonwealth are offering flu and strep testing.
The U.S. Supreme Court rejected a challenge to Kentucky's abortion law.
Fayette County schools have joined a lawsuit against electronic cigarette makers.
A Mount Sterling foster mother accused of intentionally burning her baby pleaded not guilty today.
In sports, the Round County girls basketball team hosts the 16th region favorite tonight.
Bud Luke has the stock report.
An 80% chance of rain tonight with a low of 42. We'll have a look at your region's extended forecast after this news.
The Rowan County High School Band will participate in inaugural festivities in Frankfort tomorrow. Andy Beshear officially takes the reins as Kentucky's governor on Tuesday. Rowan principal Brandy Carver says being part of the day is a great opportunity for the students and the school.
It gives us a chance to highlight our band. They work extremely hard. They are extremely talented. And as soon as the opportunity came up, I contacted, you know, Harry Clark and Laura Brown, said, how can we make this happen for the high school? I think it's important for Eastern Kentucky to have a seat at the table.
Carver also is hopeful that the new governor will have a different tone than his predecessor. She believes Governor Beshear and senior advisor Rocky Adkins will be able to foster a more positive relationship between state government and public educators.
Platforms and viewing stands have been constructed around the Kentucky State Capitol as final preparations are made for Tuesday's inauguration of Governor-elect Andy Beshear. The theme is Team Kentucky, with most of the day's events open to the public. Inaugural Program Director Kenny Bishop tells WKYT there will be an inaugural breakfast at the Center for Kentucky History, followed by a worship service at First Christian Church.
The open house is going to happen immediately after the public swearing in on Tuesday afternoon. We have some artists from the Governor's School for the Arts who will be performing inside. And the governor and the lieutenant governor are going to greet folks and shake some hands and hug some necks and thank them for coming to the inauguration.
Kentucky educators will serve as grand marshals of the inaugural parade, which starts at 10 a.m.
Pharmacies across Kentucky are offering flu and strep testing. Kentucky law allows pharmacies working in conjunction with a physician to test for 14 different conditions, including flu and strep. Kyle Bryan works for Wheeler's Pharmacy in Lexington. He tells WKYT prevention is the best form of treatment.
If all goes well, we will do the flu or the strep test. And then after 5 minutes, we come back with the results. And if they do test positive, we can start to dispense an antibiotic or an antiviral medication for them.
He also said it's important to call a pharmacy ahead of time to see if they offer the service.
A Powell County student has been diagnosed with E. coli. WKYT reports the student was diagnosed with Shiga toxin producing E. coli. According to a letter posted on the Powell County Schools website on Friday, the letter from the Powell County Health Department says this type of E. coli can cause a severe bacterial infection of the intestines. Dr. Ryan Stanton with the Board of the American College of Emergency Physicians says this strain typically requires expert care.
It will often land people in the hospital with prolonged recoveries, with needs for significant IV fluids and support therapies.
Custodians were called in to clean and disinfect the classroom in question. The health department says any children who develop symptoms while at school will be sent home and not allowed to return without a note from their health care provider.
The Central Kentucky Navy League and the Marine Corps League commemorated the 78th anniversary of the Pearl Harbor attack on Friday. WUKY's Josh James has more from the ceremony.
On the morning of December 7th, 1941,
the ceremony was part memorial and part history lesson, with speakers detailing the events that led up to and followed the surprise December 7th attack on Pearl Harbor in 1941. The aerial assault killed 2,335 military personnel and 68 civilians. leading to the formal entry of the U.S. into World War II. Attendees at the Lexington Senior Center heard from keynote Rear Admiral William Van Meter Alford Jr., a former United States Pacific Command Chief of Staff. Nationwide remembrances are taking place just days after a shooting at the Pearl Harbor Naval Shipyard left two civilians dead, along with the gunman and another injured. Authorities do not believe the attack was linked to terrorism. In Lexington, I'm Josh James reporting.
Food stamp recipients and assistance organizations are keeping a close eye on new work requirements set to take effect in April. The Trump administration rule will require food stamp recipients 18 to 49, who are childless and not disabled, to work at least 20 hours a week for more than 3 months over a three-year span to continue to qualify for the assistance. WBIE reports that could affect nearly 32,000 Kentuckians. Angela Settle heads up SNAP Assistance Office of Owensboro.
If they're going to have to start buying their food, I mean, they're going to come in with eviction notices, with their rent that needs to be paid. They're going to come in with utility disconnects.
Settle's organization is starting to collect food donations should the group seek a spike in requests under the new rules.
Members of the Fayette County Board of Education voted unanimously last week to file a lawsuit against vape companies during their meeting. Preliminary results from the Centers for Disease Control's Youth Tobacco Survey showed 27.5% of teenagers reported using an e-cigarette in the previous 30 days. That's up from 20.8% in 2018. There were 116 vape-related disciplines in Fayette County during the 2019 school year. Manny Calk is the county superintendent for Fayette County Schools. He says student safety is a top priority.
You're not going to profit by destroying the health of our children. You're not going to profit by creating the next generation of tobacco users.
The Board of Education tells LEX 18 the use or possession of e-cigarettes is prohibited in the Fayette County Student Code of Conduct and is subject to the same disciplinary consequences as any other tobacco product.
The U.S. Supreme Court rejects a challenge to a Kentucky abortion law. KNN's Will Clark has more.
The court left intact a Kentucky law that forces doctors who perform abortions to first show the woman an ultrasound and give her a detailed description of the fetus, even if she doesn't want to listen. The justices, rejecting an appeal by the state's only abortion clinic, EMW Women's Surgical Center in Louisville, and its three doctors, they argue the law violates their free speech rights. Kentucky officials telling the Supreme Court their rules do nothing more than require that women who are considering an abortion be provided with information that is truthful, non-misleading, and relevant to their decision of whether to have an abortion. I'm Will Clark.
We'll have a look at more of your region's headlines right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from the Community Recycling Center in Moorhead. Located at 325 Triplett Street near the Moorhead City Park, the Community Recycling Center offers a 24-hour drop-off service for a variety of recyclables, including cardboard, aluminum and steel cans, one and two-numbered plastics, books, newspaper, magazines, mixed and shredded paper. The Community Recycling Center is a partnership of the City of Moorhead, Rowan County, and Moorhead State University. More information at 784-1250.
A Mount Sterling foster mother answered to a criminal abuse charge in Clark County today. Police say Ashley Neal was seen pouring hot chocolate on her 10-month-old child on Saturday, November 30th. Officers tell WKYT Neal was seen pouring the 150-degree drink on the baby's head, took a few more steps, then tried to fall before bracing herself. Police say the child had extensive burns on the face and was taken to UK Hospital. Neal is charged with first-degree criminal abuse. It's a Class C felony. A not guilty plea was entered for Neal, and she is out on bond. A preliminary hearing is scheduled for December 18th at 1:30 p.m.
The Kentucky State Police have issued a golden alert for a missing Carter County man. WKYT reports 66-year-old Danny Carroll of Grayson was last seen Sunday afternoon at around 1 p.m. leaving the Russell Convalescent Home. Carroll has short gray hair. He was last seen wearing blue jeans, a blue button-up shirt, tennis shoes, and is known to carry a brown cane wrapped in duct tape. Anyone with information on his whereabouts is asked to contact the Kentucky State Police Post 14 at 606-928-6421 or anonymously at 1-800-222-5555.
Authorities have booked a teenager indicted in a deadly shooting in the Fayette County Detention Center. According to LAX 18, jail records show Mahala Jackson was transferred into the adult facility after turning 18 on Sunday. Jackson is charged with the murder of 15-year-old Kevin Olmeta Ortez. The Lafayette High School student was shot and killed February of 2018 outside a home on Garden Springs Drive. Jackson pleaded not guilty last year to murder, assault, and robbery charges in that case.
A Louisville man is facing several charges after threatening to shoot high school students. The incident happened on Friday morning in the parking lot of Valley High School. Police tell LAX 18, 20-year-old Mason Fox pulled a gun from his waistband and told a group of students that he was going to shoot them. Police were called to the scene and arrested Fox after a short foot chase. He has been charged with terroristic threatening, wanton endangerment, fleeing police, and trespassing.
A Leslie County man is facing a host of charges after police found a homemade explosive in his home. WYMT reports several law enforcement agencies, including the FBI, went to a home on Upper Grassy Branch Road on Friday to serve a search warrant following up on a tip. When they got there, officials found a small homemade explosive and materials that could be used to make others. Police found 46-year-old Kevin Peterson hiding in a hole cut out of the wall behind a cook stove in the home. When Kentucky State Police asked him to come out of the hiding spot, he refused, and they ended up using a canine unit to bring him out. He's currently charged with resisting arrest, wanton endangerment, assault, terroristic threatening, and unlawful imprisonment. The case is still under investigation.
Police in Georgetown were looking for three juveniles and an endangered adult described as missing after a suspected car theft. In a post on the department's Facebook page, officials said they were seeking minors Mackenzie Justice, Logan Jones, and Atlas Young, as well as Kenneth Edwards, who was described as an adult with a mental disability. Police tell LAX 18 they were last seen in a dark blue 2018 Toyota RAV4 with Kentucky plate 701YWP. A police sergeant tells LAX 18 that the juveniles are suspected of stealing a vehicle. Anyone with information about the case is asked to call Georgetown Police Department at 502-863-7820.
The Knox and Bell County Sheriff's Offices, as well as the Pineville Police Department, found fake money in circulation within a few days. Last week, the Knox County Sheriff's Office got a call from a business after the owner had a complaint that the texture of a bill seemed off. Police shortly picked up the bill and found some inconsistencies with its authenticity. According to WYMT, the fake $100 bill did not have the Chinese symbols often associated with counterfeit money seen in other parts of southeastern Kentucky, according to police. Smith asked residents who suspect counterfeit money to get a description of both the suspected person and their vehicle to help police make an arrest.
Taking a look at your region's weather. This afternoon, a 50% chance of scattered showers, cloudy with a high near 62. Tonight, 80% chance of showers and rain, low around 42. Tuesday, 80% chance of rain and snow likely, temperature falling to around 32. Tuesday night, a 50% chance of snow, cloudy then gradually becoming partly cloudy with a low around 24. Wednesday, sunny with a high near 38. Wednesday night, mostly clear with a low around 21. And Thursday, mostly sunny with a high near 42.
On our feature segment today, we bring you Our Island Universe.
At 11:19 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Saturday, December 21, winter arrives in the Northern Hemisphere and summer in the Southern Hemisphere. I'm Chanel Varani, director of the Star Theater at Morehead State University's Space Science Center and host of Our Island Universe. For us north of the equator, the time around the winter solstice is identified with short daylight hours and long nighttime hours. Indeed, the night of the winter solstice has long been referred to as the longest night of the year and the day with the shortest length of daylight hours. With the sun low in the sky and short daylight hours comes the cold at this time of the year. We now know the cycle of the seasons is caused by Earth's tilt on its axis as the planet revolves around the sun. The Earth's changing distance to the sun has nothing to do with our seasons. Now, our ancestors decoded the pattern of the four seasons and figured out the order, but struggled to explain why. Our ancestors were very keen observers. They had figured out that as the season changes from fall to winter, the sun slowly drifts south of west along the horizon. Similarly, the sun moves slowly downwards from one high noon to the next as we go from fall to winter. Around the time of the solstice, the rate at which the sun moves south slows to a crawl, almost as if it's standing still. So they call the date at which the sun sets the furthest south from west the winter solstice. The word solstice comes from two Latin words, sol and sistere, which literally means sun standing still. While they may not have known why, almost every culture had celebrations at this time of the year as they celebrated the lighter days to come and dealt with the season of dormancy, darkness, and cold. Christians all over the world celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ on Christmas Day, but there's little evidence that December 25 was actually Jesus' birthday. Instead, we know that the pagan celebrations like Saturnalia and Natalis Invicti occurred during this time. A word associated with Christmas, Yule, is derived from the Norse word jol, which again refers to a pre-Christian winter festival. So it's likely Christmas was chosen to occur on December 25 to offset these pagan celebrations. Nevertheless, it is clear that celebrations of the lighter, warmer days to come and nature's continuing cycle were common in many cultures. For me, the arrival of winter signifies the arrival of the constellation Orion in our nighttime sky. This one constellation demonstrates the cyclical order of the cosmos as it's home to both a stellar nursery and a star that's ready to explode. More about that in a later episode of Our Island Universe. Our Island Universe is produced by WMKY in cooperation with Physics, Earth Science, and Space Systems Engineering at Morehead State University, home to the Ronald G. Eaglin Space Science Center. Learn more at moreheadstate.edu/star theater.
It's 57 degrees here on the beautiful campus of Morehead State University. I'm your Mountain Edition host, Leanne Akers, here with Jonathan Burton and Keneally Roberts. And we're coming to you live from the Larry Netherton Studio right here in the historic Breckenridge Hall. Thank you so much for joining us on this gloomy Monday afternoon. Ty Martin has a look at sports right after this.
Support for MSPR is provided by Gateway Radio, serving Rowan and surrounding counties with WKCA at 97.7 FM. All the programming of WKCA, classic country music, news, and more are available worldwide on WKCARadio.com. Apps available for both your Apple and Android devices. WKCA proudly supports Morehead State University and Morehead State Public Radio.
The Vikings face off with the Red Devils tonight. For WMKY Sports, I'm Ty Martin. Round County girls basketball team welcomes Russell tonight for EKC tournament action. The gals in green fell in their season opener last week, while the Lady Devils stand at 2-1 on the young season. Round head coach Matt Stokes says tonight's matchup will be a tough one.
Russell's picked to win our region. I think they're probably the best team in our region. I've got to see them play a couple of times. They've got three or four girls can all score and play. They're really quick. So we're gonna have to really be on our A game. And like I said, they've already played three games this year. We've had one.
Tip-off tonight is set for 6 p.m. Taking a look at other girls basketball action tonight in the 16th region. East Carter girls meet Morgan County at the EKC tournament tonight. The Lady Raiders are 2-1 on the young season, while Morgan has two wins. The matchup will be held at 8 p.m. at Round County. Boys EKC action resumes tomorrow with West Carter and Round. That match will also be held in Morehead. East Carter boys are also slated to play, but their opponent is yet to be decided. Morehead State's women's track and field team completed its first indoor meet of the 2019-2020 season Friday at the Marshall Opener. Senior Maya Andrews and freshman Taylor Lee finished third and fourth, respectively, in the 300-meter dash. Senior Abigail Dorn took third place in the 400-meter dash. The Eagles concluded the meet with 21 total points. MSU will have a long break before returning to action at Marshall again on January 11th. After a 5-5 start to the year, Morehead State basketball is off this week before hosting Marshall next Monday. The Eagles are undefeated so far at Johnson Arena this season. Head coach Preston Spradlin says playing at home is a big boost for his team.
We've got great fans. I really hope that our fans have liked what they've seen throughout our home games that we've had this year, four home games, and they'll continue to come out and support us because we do have a really good schedule. We have good teams coming in there. Marshall, we have my Alice Lloyd Eagles coming in there, and then we open up conference play with four straight at home. And so we're going to need our fans to be in there to give us some energy, some enthusiasm, and some confidence, and to make it a tough atmosphere for the opponent.
The Eagles will play six of their next seven games at home. That stretch begins with the visiting Thundering Herd next Monday at 7 p.m. After a 7-5 finish to the season, the Kentucky Wildcats are bowl-bound once again. UK will take on Virginia Tech on New Year's Eve at the Belk Bowl in Charlotte, North Carolina. Fans like UK freshman Raven Cox say they are confident the Cats can come out of the game with a victory.
We had a lot of injuries this year, which held us back, but our boys were courageous and they persevered, so we're just going to tough it out and go big blue and just hopefully we got this bowl game.
This marks the fourth straight year head coach Mark Stoops has led Kentucky to a bowl appearance. The Cats beat Penn State to win last year's Citrus Bowl. Tickets for the Belk Bowl are on sale by calling 800-928-2287 or online at ukfootballtix.com. Louisville football fans will have a short road trip this bowl season. The Cardinals will play Mississippi State in the Music City Bowl. The game will be played at Nissan Stadium in Nashville on December 30th. It will be Louisville's second appearance in the Music City Bowl. Here's Louisville's head coach, Scott Satterfield.
It's very close to us, two and a half hours away, so a lot of our fans will be able to get down to that site. And I think, it should be a great atmosphere. Should be a lot of people in there. I think that's what people, our kids want to play in a great stadium with a great atmosphere. I think we're going to get all of that, so it should be an awesome week.
Western Kentucky will travel to Dallas for the First Responder Bowl. The Hilltoppers will play Western Michigan. Indiana is headed to the Sunshine State. The Hoosiers will play Tennessee in the Gator Bowl in Jacksonville on January 2nd. And finally in sports this afternoon, Eastern Kentucky University has appointed Walt Wells as the new head football coach. Wells served as an assistant under legendary EKU head coach Roy Kidd from 1997 to 2002 and was an assistant again with the Colonels in 2015. Interim Director of Athletics Mark Sandy announced the hiring of Wells as the 15th head coach in program history on Monday. A press conference and reception will be held on Tuesday at 10 a.m. in the Black Box Theater at the EKU Center for the Arts. Wells most recently served as a quality control assistant at the University of Kentucky during the 2018 and 2019 seasons. From 2016 to 2017, Wells worked on the staff at the University of Tennessee. And that's going to do it for sports. For WMKY, I'm Tom Martin.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Men's basketball hosts Marshall at 7 p.m. on Monday, December 16th, and women's basketball's next home game is Thursday, December 19th, hosting Asbury College. Tickets and more information from the Eagle Athletic Office at 783-2089 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Robert W. Baird. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. Stocks fell for the first time in four sessions as investors took a pause after a sharp rally in the previous session. And the Dow Industrials did finish with a loss of 105.46 at 27,909.60. The S&P 500 was down 9.95 at 3135.96. And the NASDAQ Composite was down 34.7 at 8621.83. Apple was down 1.4% to be among the worst performers in the Dow. And, of course, the Dow rallied late last week, up more than 300 points on Friday, as we had a very strong non-farm payrolls report for the month of November, when it was reported that 266,000 jobs were added, which was much better than anticipated. Today's session had investors focusing on the prospect of a limited trade agreement between the U.S. and China, with less than a week to go before Washington is set to impose even more tariffs on Chinese goods. And the Chinese Assistant Commerce Minister said today that the country hopes to make a deal with the U.S. as soon as possible, and his comment came after data showed Chinese exports fell for a fourth straight month in November, potentially increasing pressure on China to make a deal. Trade-sensitive names like Apple have been under pressure as these as bad news has come out in regard to trade. And, of course, on December 15th, there is a deadline where possibly tariffs could be imposed on another $156 billion in Chinese goods. Meanwhile, House Democrats and the Trump administration are close to reaching a tentative deal on replacing the North American Free Trade Agreement after months of deliberation, and the Democratic-held House could vote on the United States-Mexico-Canada agreement by December 18th. And in corporate news, Sanofi will acquire biotech company Synthorx for $2.5 billion. The acquisition price represents a 172% premium from Synthorx's close of $25.03 on Friday, and Virgin Galactic shares jumped more than 12% after an analyst initiated them with an overweight rating, citing the company's potential to disrupt the airline industry. In the energy markets today, oil was down 0.3% at $59.01 per barrel. And in the commodities markets, gold was actually unchanged on the day, finishing at $1,465.10 an ounce. In Europe, stocks were down slightly, with the Stoxx 600 index down 0.25%. Most Asian markets were either flat or down or up slightly, with Nikkei up 0.3% and the Shanghai Composite up 0.1%. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Community Trust Bank up 14 cents at 45.17, Kroger up 35 cents at 27.84, CSX down 86 cents at 70.41, Marathon Petroleum down $1.77 at 58.43, and PPL was down 26 cents to finish at 33.69. Reporting for WMKY, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Robert W. Baird.
Support for MSPR comes from the Recreation and Wellness Center at Morehead State University. The Wilson Bowling Lanes in the Laughlin Building are open to the public for birthday parties, youth groups, by-the-hour or per-game pricing. Cosmic Bowling features disco and black lights, open Tuesday through Saturday from 5 to 9 p.m. For more information and reservations, the phone number is 606-776-3457.
Taking a look at some events coming up around the region, the Morehead chapter of the National Alliance on Mental Illness Support Group will meet at 6 p.m. on Tuesday, December 10th at the Rowan County Public Library. Individuals with mental illness or family and friends of people with mental illness are welcome to attend.
The Rowan County Senior High School Thespians will present a Christmas carol at the Rowan County Senior High School Performing Arts Center. Performances are December 11th, 12th, 13th, and 14th at 7 p.m. and 2 p.m. on Sunday, December 15th. Tickets are $7 for adults and $5 for students.
The Morehead History and Railroad Museum will host game night at 7 p.m. on Thursday, December 12th. Trivia, 20 questions, name that tune, and more. Free snacks and prizes. The museum is located across from the Morehead Conference Center on East 1st Street.
Menifee Community Theater will present It's a Wonderful Life at the Menifee Elementary School in Frenchburg. A dinner theater presentation. Dinner begins at 6 p.m. and the performance at 7 p.m. on December 13th, 14th, and 20th. There will be a matinee show at 2 p.m. on Sunday, December 15th. Tickets are priced at $15 for adults and $10 for children.
The community is invited to a choral concert performed by Morehead State University music majors and community singers. Handel's Messiah will be presented at 3 p.m. on Sunday, December 15th at First Baptist Church on Main Street in Morehead. Admission is free. And that's going to do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. Today we had help from Tanner Boyd, Joe Lewis, Greg Jenkins, Paul Hitchcock, Wyatt Melton, Cody Robinson, Zoe Hall, Chanasty Davis, Ty Martin, and Keneally Roberts. KNN's Paul Miles and Will Clark, WUKY's Josh James, the Robert Baird Company's Bud Luke, and our feature segment today came from Morehead State University's Star Theater Director, Chanel Varani. Our theme music is composed and performed by Allison Brown. This is Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY, Morehead, Kentucky. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Jonathan Burton and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Leanne Akers for WMKY News. All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5 o'clock.